Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triple Jump podcast. It's a video game podcast. My name is Ben.
My name is Peter.
And my name is Ashton.
How are we all doing today?
Good.
For reasons that will not be revealed for some time.
We're all a bit sore.
Ashton's lying. She's not good.
Why are you always lying?
I couldn't put my socks on this morning. Really struggled because I've hurt my back. And
my neck hurts.
Yeah,
my neck hurts a bit as well.
And my arms a little bit.
My forearms are quite sore for some reason. Mm. Not sure why.
Yeah, mine are as well, actually.
There is, I mean, the ambiguity here means that there are some people just doing a horrific sort of shipping thing in their head now, thinking that the reason all three of us are feeling rough. That happens. If you say, oh, can't tell you why, but we're all a bit sore today, there will be a maybe 5% of the audience thinking, I know why.
I think it's probably more than that.
They had an orgy, is that what?
They had an orgy.
A triple hump is what happened.
Yes, indeed.
Not a triple hump.
No, it's and this doesn't make anything. This doesn't make anything better, but it was for a video.
Yeah, it was for a video
and
the internet.
So that video will be coming soon. And
what soon?
It will be arriving soon.
Arriving soon.
It's coming soon. So we hope you enjoy it.
$500 tier.
It will be a good video. It's one of the most ambitious, probably most professional videos we've ever made. Mm. And it will get 1,300 views.
Yeah.
And that's really exciting.
It will.
So looking forward to it.
It's got some gold moments in it, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've not even started editing it yet. And I already know it's going to have some gold moments in it.
Mm-hmm. Can't wait.
So it's going to be exciting.
Get excited.
Now, at the time of release, yesterday, I think.
No. Tomorrow.
At the time of release, two days ago,
it was a special boys' special day.
2 days ago?
At the time of release,
which is Saturday, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's the day after.
I think it's Sunday.
It's a special boys' birthday. It's on Sunday.
Okay, so tomorrow.
I don't know what day
of
the week
time
is.
Of release.
I think it's on Sunday.
Is it Sunday?
I should know. Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah. Right. So people can still. Okay.
So tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
At the time of release, it's a special boys' special day. That being Tiny Peter Austin, who's having a birthday. He's turning the big 2-0.
Yeah.
He's turning 20.
Again.
It's very exciting.
10 years, 20.
Yes. Are you looking forward to it?
I am. Yes, I am. I am now at time of release away on a mystery staycation somewhere.
Ooh,
I've been whisked off. So
Ashton and I have organized this,
of course,
Peter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to bundle him into the back of a van, blindfolded and gagged, and take him.
Just leave him in there for a week.
That's it.
Leave him.
We're sick of you.
Yeah.
Happy birthday now. Be quiet.
Yeah, you're old
van.
Now.
Yeah. You are old.
This is the old man van. Mm.
But we couldn't let you go away without a couple of treats.
Yeah.
So we've got you a couple of treats.
What?
Yeah. So they're birthday presents for you, Peter Austin.
No, you haven't.
I've organised your birthday party that is happening tonight at time of recording. But we also got you a little birthday, birthday present. We did.
How did I not see them in this
room? Do you know what? Ben said, I need to figure out how to get these to the podcast.
Did you just wait for me to go first?
No.
He just said, I'm going to walk past him with a plastic bag and I guarantee you he won't notice.
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah,
no
I walked
chance.
Past you with it. You walked up to the printer at the same
Stood
time
next
as me.
To you at the printer.
I put it down, went to the toilet, left it there, and then came back after you'd gone and picked it up and walked right into this room with it.
Yeah.
Anyway, don't look at the address because it's
yours.
Well, no, it's not mine. That's the thing. But the thing inside the package is what you'll enjoy there.
Yeah.
Am I not to look at the address or
I mean, you can look at the address, but it won't mean anything to you at all. It's just, yeah, just don't show the address to the public if you can.
What is this?
What is it?
I saw a nitro crate. Oh, wow. Look at that. That's fantastic. And it doesn't have any of the pretenders on it from the post-trilogy era.
Yeah.
I don't think. Oh, that's lovely.
What is it? Describe it.
It's yes,
describe
of course.
Describe it for grandma.
For those who aren't on the video version of the podcast, it is a fan art poster of Crash Bandicoot 1/2,
mm-hmm.
sort of a mixture of the or three, all three of
three,
them,
all three,
the whole original trilogy, but none of the rubbish ones who have like lowercase n's on their heads and
no,
stuff. All the bosses are there. All the boys and girls are there, except Coco. So it's just boys.
She might be taking the photo.
Even better, Coco's taking the picture.
No girls allowed.
No girls allowed.
The hunky lads selfie, big selfie.
That is gorgeous. Thank you very much. Is that from like an Etsy artist or something?
Well, it's actually from a friend of mine who said, I think Peter might like this.
Yes.
And I thought, you're correct.
Yeah.
I do. Is it your friend's address on the...
It is my friend's address. Yes.
I love it. Thank you very much, Ben and Ashton and Ben's friend.
That's not all.
Oh. Rashid. Yes.
We haven't wrapped this, so if you close your eyes, I'll put
if
it
If you
in
could close
hand.
Your eyes, please.
Put your hands out, though.
Put your hands out.
Oh, hands out.
So I can
close your eyes.
You.
Can you do
watch
both?
My microphone.
There we are.
Oh.
Oh.
It's sort of...
It's...
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's square.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Would I be able to guess it from Pete feeling it?
You might.
Well, yeah, maybe.
You give it a go if
it's
you want.
It's loosely, no, it's a bit small for the PlayStation box dimensions. Oh, it's a Game Boy copy, Game Boy Advance copy of Spyro Season of Ice. I'm going to have to borrow one of Ben's Game Boy Advances.
Games Ben Boys.
The coolest Spyro adventure ever, because it's Season of Ice.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Discover more than 20 majestic levels.
20 majestic levels.
With all new characters.
All new characters.
Who would not feature on a piece of artwork like this, because they're the new ones.
No.
And all new worlds. Help Spyro to save 100 fairies. That sounds like a lot,
That's
guys.
A lot of fairies. And we expect you to save every single one of them.
That a careless wizard captured to cure himself.
Careless wizard is my favorite George Michael's
name. Indeed, yeah. To cure himself of a big headache. Test your skills in cool new, uppercase, mini games.
Yes.
Wow. Mm,
Jackanism.
It even says TP on the back.
It does say TP
Tiny
on the back.
Peter.
That's why we bought it.
Tiny
for
Beat
you.
Approved.
Now,
Thank
to be
you
clear,
so much. Yeah.
This is a collector's piece that may. Oh, you've already looked. He's already bashed his way into the box.
I know. Well, I did it with my eyes shut. I thought it was to unwrap.
He's got into the protective case. That's a display piece for your Spyro, what I assume, where you have your Spyro shrine. I haven't been to your house. So
I don't know if you have a Spyro shrine. Yes.
So that can go in there. Mm. Alternatively,
They should have put it in the other way.
It was
me.
They should have. Sorry, yes, they should have done
they.
It. The alternative is that you crack that bad boy open and you 100% it. And you have the worst time doing it.
If only it was
a real
streamable.
Terrible time.
Well, it is. I don't want to back you into that corner, but you can definitely download an ISO.
Well, I could dial it. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I could download an emulator.
You don't want to do that. You don't. No. I mean, you could do a series of streams.
Strips.
Where you just play the weird spin-off Game Boy,
the rubbish
Spyro and
games.
Crash games. Yeah. You
well, that is very generous of.
Happy
you both.
Birthday, Peter.
Yeah, happy birthday, Peter Austin.
Thank you. Well,
is it going to stand up?
Mm.
You could probably lean it on your microphone.
Yeah,
the back of your microphone. Not at that angle. There we go.
There we go.
He's doing it. Yeah.
To free my paper.
Okay.
Oh,
no, you can
wobbly.
Do it. You can do it.
Let it believe.
Let it. There we go. Fantastic.
Fantastic indeed. Thank you very much indeed, guys.
You're welcome. That's
lovely. Happy birthday. The big 3-0.
Not many people get and a copy of Spyro Season of Ice.
Not people get to 30
for their...
<It's>, no, they don't. Oh, we're so old now. This is, of course, a video game podcast, and it's very exciting because this is also episode 150, which is a huge milestone for us. Each and every week, we're sponsored by a very real video game adjacent sponsor. The Birthday Boy is going to read it for you right now.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys know, but it's quite my week this week. Mm. It's my week.
Yeah, your birthday week. You're the birthday princess.
I'm the birthday princess. I've had Crash and Spyro things gifted to me in this very moment. And also a new Star Wars game has come.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
It's a Star Wars game that has an option, you may have seen this reported, to change the way that people speak so that they either deliver proper dialogue or sort of... Rah, rah,
rah, rah, oh, really?
Mumbly. Okay. But there's actually another option as well. So that they will speak properly again. You can change it back to properly speaking. But everything they say, sort of, when they say a line, you can like hear it again in the background, getting quieter and quieter. So they'll say like, "May the Force be with you.
Be with you.
Coming soon, everyone. No, coming now. It's here.
Yeah.
Echo Star Wars, the Skywalker saga." I did that one in about 30 seconds before we came downstairs to record.
What do you mean you did that one?
The brand deal with Warner Brothers.
Yes.
So
Echo Star Wars.
Echo Star Wars.
Echo with a hard C. Echo. Echo Star Wars, yes.
Echo Star Wars, yeah.
Just like... Because it sounds
kind
not,
of
not,
like Lego.
Yeah,
I
not
guess.
A huge amount like Lego.
No, it doesn't really. Not a lot rhymes with Lego, though.
No.
Ego.
Like the waffle?
Yeah, like the waffle.
Right.
That's an American thing. You've seen Stranger Things, Peter, haven't you?
Sure.
Yeah, there he is.
Yeah. I have Stranger Things muted on Twitter from when it was really popular. I know it's still popular, but like when season one was really, really popular and everyone was talking about it. And I was like, get off my feet.
You know, get out of here.
They've got nothing against the show, but just I don't want to see it everywhere all the time.
Let's go, Star Wars.
Let's go. Yeah. Keith Chego.
Chego, yeah, Keith Chego. That's a good one.
Yeah. Just boots in German. Anyway, it's not real.
Oh,
come now.
Who saw that coming?
On episode 150 of all places.
No, and on my birthday to lie to you. Rude.
Absolutely disgusting.
But you're allowed to because it is your birthday.
You get one
so
line.
I guess you get one free line.
As long as you don't do it at the end of the podcast as well, then we're all sorted.
Okay.
No, we are not sponsored by Echo Star Wars, the Skywalker Starga.
It was either going to be one where the dialogue is repeated into the distance, or it was a crossover with a sort of retro gaming dolphin.
I was going to say the dolphin.
Right. I was wondering if the dolphin would come in when you said that. No, we are sponsored by our wonderful patrons over at patreon.com/teamtriplejump, where for as little as $1 per month, you can submit questions to this podcast each and every week. We have loads of other tiers available as well. Please do consider going and checking it out if you haven't already.
But that's not all. We have one other kind of sponsor kind of request.
What's going on here? Look at that.
You just got that 30 hair
just
now,
got
man.
A floof. Well, I washed it last night and just went to bed with wet hair, so now I've got a sort of a shelf.
A wet butt.
Wet butt, yeah.
What was I saying?
Facebook.
Facebook.com/teamtriplejump. Like the page, follow it. Please get us 10K. We're very close now. I know some people are kind of like getting a bit mardy about us asking about it, but like if you just
are you really? Are you really getting fed up?
There's a really easy way to get us to stop asking.
We told you that we won't stop asking.
That's true.
You know,
there was a
you
pre-warning.
We're really close now, and then we're going to promote our TikTok each and every week. So there.
Yeah. So there. please do that. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Please follow. Question one.
It's from Richard Major, who says, "Yo, Bashta, what in gaming control trope are fed up with?"
Okay, right. So no, I don't. We really gave Richard the benefit of the doubt to start with.
"What in gaming control trope are fed up with? I've just started playing the Spider-Man game DLC, and it reminded me I hate the rapidly tap a button to do an action. You know the type." Comma, sometimes in a QTE or sometimes to like fill a meter before your character can move a switch or lever or whatever.
Or to kill a teammate in the Dark Pictures anthology.
Yes. I'm 35 years old and my decrepit fingers and thumbs just don't work like that anymore. It's not fun and I don't like it. So what are your control peeves? Love, as always, Richard.
Thanks, Richard.
Thanks, Arthur.
Thanks, Richard. Do you know what I don't like specifically in the realm of QTEs? I don't mind any kind of specific QTE, you know, tap a button or rotate a thumbstick or whatever it is, shake the controller. Mm. But what I don't like is where it happens in a game where QTEs don't happen all the time and you're just sitting enjoying a cutscene and then suddenly it's like, press X! And then you just miss it because you're not expecting QTEs at all.
Mm.
It used to happen in Resi 4, certainly. I think we've had it in some of the... I mean, I know like Dark Pictures games, you should be prepared for QTEs, but sometimes it can go a really long time where it's just dialogue and then suddenly, you know, something will burst through a wall or whatever. Yeah.
And it'll be like right in the bottom corner, it'll tell you what button to press. And by the time you've figured out they have to press a button, you've missed it because it's gone. And it's you've been like, oh, I was just chilling.
I don't want to have to be on my guard at all times. No. Or if I do have to be on my guard at all times, I would quite like to just know. Maybe if there's just a tiny indicator in like the bottom corner that says, in this cutscene, there might be QTE.
Or even like QTE incoming or something.
Yeah.
I killed a lot of people, full stop. But I specifically killed at least two characters in Dark Pictures, whatever the last one was called. With Ashley Tisdale. What was it called?
Man of Medan, Little Hope.
I keep getting, it says Man of Medan in my brain, and that's not it.
The deep
House
deep
of Ashes.
Land. House of Ashes, there it is.
Is
House of Ashton,
yeah.
Did we even make that pun? I don't think we
probably
did.
I don't
not.
Know if we did. I killed a couple of people in that simply by missing a cutscene QTE. Mm. Like that, the blonde guy.
Mm.
He died because I missed a QTE by accident.
He did die. He got shot, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
And the other guy died because it told you to do it.
It told me to tap X.
You're killing him. You're going to kill him.
I tapped X.
Let go. You're going to kill him.
He's up, man. He can't breathe. Hey.
It didn't say.
Stop
it.
Ashton.
It didn't. I kind of thought that when that moment it was going, tap X to not kill him. So I was like.
Tap X to release your grip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sadly not.
Yeah. I do not like those either.
Mm. Was that your actual answer?
Oh, no,
that
I had other
side?
Ones.
Oh, yeah, no, off you go, yeah.
I don't like it when you have to tap to run and you can't change. Like, when you have to tap X to run and you can't change the control scheme, that
GTA.
Really bothers me. GTA really winds me up with that. I'm like, why does this make sense? It doesn't. It doesn't make sense. And it's also really inaccessible to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I also don't like, and it's mainly a me issue, parry mechanics. Can't do them.
Yeah.
Too stupid.
Specifically stupid.
Can't
not just reaction
out.
Times. Yeah. Thick.
I can't figure out if people are going to attack me in a sharp enough time to block.
Mm.
And I just can't do parry mechanics.
Right.
I just
well, the Kena one was rubbish.
The Kena one was rubbish. Mm,
but even in other games, I guess it can be tricky.
Yeah.
So there.
I like turning on auto sprint in games, which is something that I only discovered existed with Far Cry 6. And it was so nice not having to mash L3 in this, you know, this giant open world.
Mm.
Just holding forwards and you sprint automatically. Yeah. That's amazing. Like, what a brilliant accessibility feature. It's so simple. There are so many games like that that have a sprint button. And yes, mashing X is objectively the worst variety of that because that's stupid and it's really annoying. Even just holding X is annoying to sprint. In like some games do hold X to sprint. And I don't really like that either. Auto sprint's good. You know, we've got thumbsticks, right? Just
yes.
And if there's a dedicated sprint button and if you're holding the stick at full extension and that is run, say, which is different from sprint, and then if you hold it a little way, you walk, then why can't we get that full range of motion between walking, running, and sprinting on the stick? I know it doesn't have a huge range of motion, but I'm fed up of having to press a sprint button. I'm lazy. I don't want to do it anymore.
In Keith Chegoe's Star Wars, there is a sprint. You can L3 to sprint, but if you are, as you say, running at full extension for more than like 5 meters, then they suddenly just pick up the pace.
Yeah.
If you're going a long distance, it's like, you probably want to be sprinting now, right? So it sort of lets you jog. And then if it's like, I guess you're in it for the long haul here. Mm-hmm. You just auto sprint. So it's kind of a mixture of the two.
I didn't really love having to push in the thumbsticks for most mechanics, to be honest. It's not my favorite
thing. Not even the honky car horn.
Mm-hmm. The honky car horn I can allow, but I don't always love it for like melee attacks in certain games. Like I don't like having to push the thumbsticks. I just find that like I can't always tell like if I'm pushing it down enough, which sounds like really silly, but like when I'm pressing a button, you can, you know, you can press a button and you can see it's been pressed, but I can't always, especially with Final Fantasy I've been playing this week, I can't always tell if I press the sprint button to like run, because sometimes he just doesn't do it. So I'm like, well, I don't know what's going on. Have I not pressed it? I don't love that.
It doesn't happen so much anymore, but certainly, I mean, my mind goes to Halo in particular. I don't like pressing L3 to crouch in like an FPS because usually that's different. I find that more annoying than sprinting because normally if you're sprinting, you don't require like any kind of finesse. You're just legging it across a battlefield or whatever. But if you're crouching, it might be because you're sneaking or whatever. So you're pressing down, but then you might not be then moving your thumbstick to the full extent. You might just want to like also go slowly. So I find it more difficult to press down and hold it down and then do a slight kind of thumbstick movement than push it full whack and just sprint across a field. So I think that's a bit of a tricky combination.
In terms of QTE stuff, which generally I don't mind, and thankfully I haven't seen this so much, and you don't see it so much anymore, but it's the twirling thumbsticks one, where you've got to rotate the stick round really fast. Yeah. That just feels so alien and unnatural, and it's kind of uncomfortable to do. Mm-hmm. I don't like that. That's the worst QTE for me.
Isn't there an option, and it might have been in Miles Morales, and maybe not in Spider-Man, that you can turn off the tapping? You can just press it instead.
Probably.
I think there's a way of doing it.
Sounds right.
Definitely was in Miles Morales, but I can't remember if it was in the original Spider-Man.
Like you say, it's an accessibility issue sometimes. So and that's something that's improving day by day, seemingly, in the gaming world. So it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, more and more games were doing things like that.
The last one I've got is holding buttons to interact with things that aren't skipping cutscenes. I am not really a huge fan of contextual hold button things. Like if there's a button prompt, just let me press it. I understand it for things like if you're watching a cutscene, you accidentally mash the controller or you drop it and it skips and that's terrible. You should either have to hold a button for that or it should confirm that you want to skip the cutscene. But like there have been so many times in games over the past few years where I've walked up to something, pressed a button to interact with it, and then had to sort of squint at the screen and say, oh no, I've got to hold the button to do this. Why are you doing that to me?
Especially when it's not all the time. Like it's just sometimes.
Yeah, it's just sometimes. Yeah.
Usually just for some doors you have to hold triangle. Yeah, I don't, but for other like doors you just tap
or whatever,
it.
Yeah.
Sort of a new kind of post-Destiny development where you just hold a whole bloody X to confirm everything. And I hate it. Like it's unnecessary. It makes sense contextually sometimes, but oftentimes, as you said, it's not used clearly throughout the whole game. It's just sort of only for this thing, and I'm not a huge fan of that. But that's, you know, that's a tiny minor quibble, you know, not that fussed.
Worst thing is, like, in holding it, like as soon as you start holding it, maybe there's like some kind of contextual indicator, like the device you're using lights up, but it has to be lit for like 3 seconds, so you like just press it and it like flashes and you're like, okay, it did something. And like, oh, wait, no. I guess that's supposed to light all the way, you know. And so you don't even necessarily notice because you press the button and something happens and you're like, oh, that light came on. What? Oh, no. Okay. No. I've got to.
Yeah. You almost breaks your immersion a little bit because your character looks a bit silly.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Kratos winds up to hit something with his axe and then he goes, and lowers it back down again because you haven't held it for long enough.
Yeah.
Anyway, there we are. It's time for a section we've never done before, isn't that right?
Yes, we're doing it especially because it's Peter's birthday week and he is the birthday princess. It's time to talk about what we play in.
It's what we play in time. Time to talk about what we play in. Peter, as it's your birthday and you never get to go first, you're going to go first and tell us what you played first.
You're spoiling me. I have played a little bit more of what I played last week, which is Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, continuing to be fine playing that game. I'm having some fun. I still don't really like the overall kind of design of it. It's not, in some ways, it's not for me, but I'm not like actively not enjoying myself. Mm. And I have a reason for playing it as well. So that's okay. But in other news, of course, the new LEGO Star Wars game came out I got a copy yesterday at time of recording. So I've only played like an hour or so. I think when we all got to our respective homes last night, we probably were quick to go to bed. Maybe went to bed a bit earlier.
Foolishly not, but yes.
Oh dear. But I did play a few hours, and I'm sure by the time this podcast goes out, I will have been playing a lot more of it. I love it. It's great. There ought to be a quip scope on the channel for it by now, so I won't go into too much detail, but it's very charming. It's very beautiful. There is so much to it. They were quite kind of keen to sell that aspect of it in the promotional material, so it's not a surprise to me that it's really quite
thick.
But it is still a surprise to me that it's quite thick. I was like, okay, I knew it was thick, but not this thick. So that's great. And then there's all kinds of like fan service and kind of, you might be aware there's a subreddit specifically for prequel memes where they just do like, you know, I don't like sand or I am the Senate and stuff and just jokes about that. And there's a lot of that kind of humor where I saw a screenshot on Twitter this morning where it's just some side mission between like C-3PO and another droid and they're just out in Tatooine. It's nothing to do with the story because there's loads of side missions you can do. But C-3PO says, oh yeah, this is a Tusken Raider camp where the men live, but not just the men, but the women and the children too. Yeah. And you know, they've just like done silly things like that as well. So I've laughed out loud a few times already.
You've lolled.
I've lolled.
Lolled?
I literally lolled.
Wow.
Spoiler for the very first moment of The Phantom Menace, when Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan are approaching the Trade Federation ship and they get up on the video, on the Skype, the Trade Federation leader. In the background, Palpatine is still on the hologram and he's going, oh, am I still in shot? And they're just...
That's good.
Yeah,
that's
just things like that. It's a lot of fun and I'm looking forward to playing more.
Nice.
Ashton?
I have been playing some Final Fantasy VII. I played that most of the weekend. I'm on like chapter 9, just got to the wall market, and I've been having a really good time. I whacked it on easy, so it wasn't like I didn't have to faff with the combat, but I've still died a couple times to certain bosses. But yeah, I've been really enjoying it. The game is stunning and just great. My favorite part about it is that sometimes when characters don't speak, they just kind of grumble and moan to themselves about like how they're feeling. Mm. They'd be like, Cloud, what's wrong? And he's just like, and I'm like, huh?
Hello.
Use your words, Cloud.
No, he doesn't do that.
And I'm really excited to like do the rest of the story. I never played the original. And I was talking to MB while I was playing it the other day, and he was like, telling me all this stuff about it and like really just being like, yes, this is like just the beginning of the game and there's things that weren't in it. Because I was like, how would this be in the original game? Mm. The certain bits I was playing and I was like, I don't understand how this is like translated over. Like I was like, there's a motorcycle chase.
Yeah.
And I was like, how is this going to be in the original? But apparently there was one.
Oh, yeah.
So, but yeah, I've been really enjoying it. And I keep asking Ben if I'm getting story elements right. And he's like, I'm not going to tell you if you're guessing things correctly. And I'm like,
yeah.
I'm just making educated guesses. These are things that I think I'm figuring out. And he's like, well, I'm not going to spoil it for you. I'm not going to tell you. But I've been really enjoying it and I'm really excited to keep playing it. And I've also been playing some more Tiny Tina's Wonderlands. And
you enjoying it anymore?
I am okay. Not sure. I feel so rubbish that I'm not enjoying this as much as I wanted to enjoy it. And I don't think I'm not liking it, but I just don't think I'm enthralled by it. I just kind of find myself relatively indifferent to it. I want to play it because it's a game that me and Ben can play together and it's a game that I've been waiting for a while. Mm-hmm. However, I don't know if I am loving it. Well, I'm not loving it. I'm not loving it. I just think that like there's just something about it that just doesn't have a sparkle for me. There's no like little twinkle in Tiny Tina's eyes. No. I've finally got the ability to multi-class, so I'm now two classes, and that means I have a little bird friend and also have a little mushroom friend that I just send out to fight. But I find that the skill trees are really boring. Like, there's nothing really, like, interesting about them. And I also can't change the names of my little friends, which I'm really sad about. I wanted to name the Mushroom, but I can't give him a different name. He's just called Mushroom Companion. And I was like, boring.
MC.
Yeah, the MC. And I'm enjoying it. And I've been playing most days this week. I just don't love it. And also, I don't like how much the controller vibrates when I play the game. Like, the DualSense is sometimes really good. Like, it's one of those things that GTA did it really well. Like, you can feel when your tires popped in the controller when you're driving. Tiny Tina, every time you crouch, every time you jump, every time you sprint, any little thing that you do on the controller vibrates like crazy to be like, you have jumped and landed. And I'm like, okay, I didn't really need this vibration. And I feel like it is literally constant.
Your character's knees must be like bends.
Legit. Oh,
no, that's why it's vibrating so much, because your controller's cracking.
Yeah, but
every time I move.
I'm in pain. But yeah, I really want to like it. And I'm really like, enjoying it when I'm playing it. I'm just not sitting there with like a big grin on my face. Like, I'm not being like, having a great time. I'm kind of like, okay, we can go and do this, and then we can go and find the dice.
It sounds like a job.
And then we can go and maybe do this quest. And things are still broken in it. Like, it's still janky. If you start the game, you have to wait like 5 to 10 minutes for your quest log to show up, which is annoying. The encounters are boring, and I honestly can't stand them. Whenever I get put in an encounter because I've like bumped into an enemy in the overworld, I'm annoyed. I'm angry that I've been put in this encounter. And I think it's just annoying. They're boring. They've got no personality, and it's upsetting me that they've
It's just like Pokemon. I think, Ashton, that you should stop playing this game.
No, I don't
maybe.
Want to.
But
I don't want
used,
to.
It sounds like you're really not there's, having fun.
There's so many bits of it that I'm enjoying. And there's so many bits of it that I'm like, why have they done this? And people say it's really good. People have really enjoyed it. And I want this to like finish the game, because I've played all of the Borderlands, regardless of whether I've like not liked some parts of them. And I don't want to like not finish it.
You want it to be the first one that you don't finish.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm going to finish it. I'm going to keep playing it. I'm about a third of the way through, I think. I'm really disappointed, but like, I just don't understand why people really love it, and I'm just not vibing with it.
I don't know what to say.
No,
it's sad. Sometimes that happens, though. Sometimes a game comes out that you're really looking forward to that it just doesn't hit the way you want it to.
It's just not hitting. It's just not slapping.
Why is it not slapping?
Why doesn't it slap?
I don't know.
Gearbox.
Come on, Gearbox.
So
you know why? Because Patrick Fan doesn't work there anymore. That's why.
Yeah, could be.
He was single-handedly keeping that team together.
Your boy.
And
yeah.
Now
yeah.
He's left. He's, you know, that studio's, just, they're just
Randy.
It's just Randy. He's unchecked now in his power.
That's what I've been playing this week. Ben, what have you been playing?
I've also played a bit of Wonderlands, the smallest possible bit, because I went down south to visit some friends for the weekend to watch WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot of fun, but it was several extremely late nights. And I arrived on the Friday evening. The first part of WrestleMania was on Saturday evening. So we stayed up. We got two TVs. They were playing split screen. I was playing on my own because I'm the best boy and I deserve a screen all to myself. Right, yeah. We can all agree.
And also
that.
Split screen is
Yeah, let
horrible.
Them have that. So we played for maybe an hour, and it was about 11 p.m. and we were all you could feel the energy just like slowly leave the room as we were just getting more and more tired. These three 30-year-olds like... you just can't do this anymore, like we used to do when we were at school.
Yeah, all night.
So yeah, we got to. I've only played maybe an hour, where I was barely aware of what was happening, and then I quit the game and went to bed. But I haven't touched it since, and that I'm feeling sad about Wonderlands for a different reason, because I haven't had enough time.
You haven't had time to play it.
And I am not entirely sure that I'm going to have enough time to play it before the next podcast either,
before the next game.
before Wonderlands 2 comes out, because they've just got so much going on.
Yeah,
that I don't know when I'm going to find
Such
the time.
A busy boy.
Well, that's it. Like everything has the past 2 weeks, everything has like just come together so that I'm back to back. Mm-hmm. Oh, I've got something to do when I come home from work. Oh, I'm away this weekend. Oh, I got a half day because I've got to drive to this place, and it just hasn't stopped. So I haven't had time to do any of that, and I'm looking forward to playing more. But my goodness, if it isn't a reskinned Borderlands 3. So
it is.
It's not necessarily a bad thing, or it is. I don't know. I'll find out at some point. Apart from that, I've played a little bit more Elden Ring. Went around, collected some stuff that I haven't done before and found some things I haven't seen before, and that's fun. That game is obviously still amazing, but mainly now I'm just jumping in and helping out friends. It's just something to play with. My friends who haven't finished the game yet, just hop in and beat up stuff with them. The biggest thing I played this week is Lizard Lady versus the Cats Platinum Edition.
Yes.
Beg your pardon.
Lizard Lady versus the Cats Platinum Edition.
Right.
Which is the long-awaited sequel to Lady in a Leotard with a Gun, which I have maybe spoken about on this podcast before, but also maybe not. It was 50p and I bought it as a joke, and it is literally my first Unity project.
Oh, is it?
Except it's I think it's horrifying. Made in Unreal, but it is that. It's
my first Unreal project.
It's made out of terrible assets. It's dreadful. It's really awful, but it's so cheap. And the first game was sort of achievable in its platinum, so I did it. And then when I saw there was a sequel, I was like, well, I've got to get this. Also 50p.
I want to show you what it looks like.
It's been sat on my on the home screen of my PS5 for a few weeks now since I bought it and like had a little play with it. But the trophy difference between this one and the last one is that you have to, in the last one, you had to complete each level without dying and there'd be a trophy at the end of it. This one, you
Jesus
have to,
Christ. This, oh, the walking animation.
This one, you have to finish the entire game without getting hit by a single bullet.
Is that your clip, Ashton?
No, that's Ben that? Sent that.
Oh, that's Ben. That to
Ashton, I saw called me out.
I was on my PlayStation, and I saw that Ben was playing Lizard Lady versus the Cat. And he'd shown us this when we were around one time playing a different game. And I was like, So I just sent a picture like, interesting Saturday morning entertainment, Ben.
I had an hour to kill before my friends were up and we were doing stuff. So I thought, now's the time to go back in, try and beat this game without getting hit by a single bullet. And I did it, got the platinum, and we're away. Now it's been deleted. Can't wait for the third one.
Good.
Very exciting times. The last thing I played, and there should be a quick scope of this available, is Moss Book 2, which I've been really looking forward
to.
VR game. The first one was wonderful. It's been a good few years since it came out. I think 2018 is when it
finished. I think we were idiots when it came out.
Yes, yeah. I think we were, yeah. And, it's so lovely. It's so lovely. And I really, you know what, I've actually... Not only did I set up my PlayStation VR for the first time in 3 years to actually play it, but now that I've got it set up, I'm just sort of, my living room looks like an absolute mess because of all the cables, but I'm just kind of leaving it there because I really want to finish it. So I am going to go back to that. As mentioned in the Quipscope, though, a lot of the traversal and platforming is kind of a gigantic pain in the ass because there are certain ledges you can clamber onto, but they're not very obvious at all. And so often I've found myself running around stages just like, I don't know what I'm meant to do. Just like jumping
at random
blind
ledges.
Yeah, things, not really sure what I'm meant to do. So, but it's really good. And you can go listen to /watch the Quipscope for more information about that.
Let's have a question too now.
Oh.
This comes from Fitz Poople. Hello, Bap. Do you have any in-game habits that interrupt the flow of your gaming experience? I, for example, while playing any kind of shooter, have to reload after every shot or every other shot at most. This, of course, interrupts my firing rate and often leads to unnecessary in-game deaths. While I'll never break the habit, it does slow down my progress quite a bit and pulls me out of what would otherwise be a fluid experience. You're all the best. Fitz Poople.
Thanks, Fitz Poople.
Thanks, Fitz Poople.
Thanks, Fitz Poople.
I've got a gaming habit I've talked about with Ben before, probably on a very early episode of the podcast. And at the time, he was I think he could have laughed at me and called me weird and nerdy, but he didn't.
Okay.
So now's your opportunity to, second chance. And Ashton, you
if
too.
I remember what this is.
This is something I choose to do. So in that sense, it doesn't interrupt me. Like, I don't feel inconvenienced by the fact that I do this, but I still feel like I'd get a lot more out of games if I didn't do this, or I'd get more out of games quicker if I didn't do this. When I play kind of open world RPG games, particularly the ones that come to mind are like Bethesda RPGs, so Fallout and Elder Scrolls, I refuse to do anything in game that my character wouldn't know about apart from through the normal course of the game. So if I know... Well, you can just go and like, if you want to, for example, I mean, in Oblivion, if you want to join the Dark Brotherhood, you have to kill someone, right? Mm-hmm. And then you get a visit in the night from what's his name. And
if I started a playthrough thinking, right, this is going to be like a, I want to do like a Dark Brotherhood character. I want to do like, a, you know, that kind of thing. So first thing I'll do is I'll just go and kill someone so we can get the Dark Brotherhood. It's like, no, no, no. No, my character wouldn't do that. They wouldn't go and just like murder someone out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. So I have to like play through the game until something sort of happens where it makes sense for me to murder someone.
You like to roleplay it a bit more.
I heavily roleplay even games that I've played over and over again. And I know like how to like get to certain bits or how to cut corners. I'm like, no, I'm not doing it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to start as like an amateur thief. And I'm going to be like doing a robbery in someone's house, and then it goes wrong. Like I botch it, and then I have to murder the person.
Right.
But you know, I really could just go in the first house and kill the first person I see, and then go to sleep if I wanted to. That's just an example, but I do that.
So in Resident Evil, any of them, for example,
yeah,
are you meticulously making your way around until you have all parts of a key or code, like a passcode for a locker, even if you remember what it is? Or do you wait until, even if you know where the key is to be found, do you wait until you find a hint that tells you where the key is to be found? Or are you not so strict in that sense?
I'm not that strict. I would probably, I mean, I don't think there's ever been a situation where I've remembered what like the code to a certain door was, but even if I did, and I know that like you're not supposed to know until you find like the note in the desk or whatever. Mm-hmm. I will probably wait until I find the note in the desk.
Right.
But it's something I don't necessarily apply as much to something a bit more linear like that and a bit more focused. Like it's more of an RPG where I'm playing as my own character kind of a thing. But
you won't just immediately head in a beeline for the skeleton key, for example, so you can just pick anything without breaking.
Yeah, so I wouldn't do that necessarily. Right. Like if I know where a certain item is, I prefer to just kind of find things organically.
That's fair.
I've probably not done it every single time I've ever played Skyrim or whatever. Like there will have been some exceptions. But yeah, generally, I like to just get into role-playing. And I'm like, no, my character wouldn't know that, so I'm not going to do it yet until I hear a rumor or something. It's just how I play those games, I guess. Mm. But it slows me down in that sense. Ashton?
I have, as in question one, I have an inability to block attacks. I don't know when they're coming. And I, regardless of how often like I fight an enemy and if I know like how their pattern is, I still cannot do it. It's like I just don't have the ability to. And the amount of times I just forget that I've even got a block or dodge mechanic is honestly a problem. It's like my brain forgets that I have the ability to dodge. And sometimes when I do dodge and I still get hit, I get extra mad because I'm like, I finally remembered I have the ability and I still got hit. I don't know why I can't do it. Like, it's like I can't really read enemies and like figure out when they're going to attack. And it's quite infuriating.
I don't like it.
It's very annoying.
Meanwhile, big boy Ben there is playing Batman Arkham on the hardest setting, which has no indicators.
Absolutely no, apart from visual cues.
He had to just read the movement of the enemy.
Like, that guy looks you like he's, Batman. You want to take a swing at me? It looks like he's about to take a swing at me. So I counter and I break his arm, but I don't kill him because Batman doesn't kill. He just maims.
Yeah.
My character wouldn't do that. Batman wouldn't kill this man.
Recovery.
Batman wouldn't kill him, but he would break his leg.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah, that. And also I often get distracted if a cutscene is too long. And maybe we'll start doing something on my phone and then there'll be about 2 to 5 minutes after the cutscene's finished and I'm just stood there where I'm not playing the game. I've got distracted by something else. And then I go, oh, I was playing the game. And then I go back to playing it. So whenever I get my like final, when I finish the game and it's like, you've played this game for like 23 hours. I'm like, we just take off like 2 hours of me just getting distracted halfway through and standing there for 10 minutes, then I think I've done a pretty good job.
That's good. That's
but
good stuff.
The block one's definitely more consistently annoying in most games.
When I was a kid, I used to think that maybe when you're playing a game that the developers could just like see what you were doing.
Yeah.
That they had like a whole row of monitors of everyone playing. And I used to think like, oh, I bet they're a bit bored like watching my character stand around while I go for my tea or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, they'll just be like, why is that guy not playing the game?
Mm.
I'm talking like PS1 era.
It's because
you
I'm
know?
Watching TikToks.
The connected to the internet console PS1.
They're always watching.
Yeah.
Always watching.
Always watching.
Ben?
Yes?
Do you have any habits?
I do have some habits. Mm-hmm. I also reload after every single firefight in a shooter of any kind. Always reload compulsively. Similar to to what you thought, Peter, of like, oh, I wonder if they're bored watching me. Except where it was more like my head canon that in, I don't do this anymore, but I do sort of at the end of like a play session, especially in an RPG, I'll try and like wrap up the evening's events in like a nice little bow, whether that be go back to my house, sort all of my chests out and put all the stuff into the correct folders, you know, replenish all of my healing items. I always go back and try to like save and finish the game in a nice central location where I'm safe. So Elden Ring, I'd often finish. Elden Ring, I would not always, but I'd often finish up at like the Round Table Hold, which is the central area, or Firelink Shrine in a previous game, you know, just somewhere it's safe, where it feels safe. Like I'm going to leave this character.
Yeah,
I need to, I need to leave them somewhere safe. And it's not even a conscious thing, like I'm considering them a real person. It's just sort of, it just feels right to leave them somewhere safe. I've told you about this before, Peter, but when I had Spyro Year of the Dragon, which is the best Spyro game, he agrees.
You are?
Sorry, no.
Season of Ice.
Yeah.
Season
of Ice. Careless Wizards. I used to, after anything I did later in the game, would come back to the first hub area.
First? Specifically the first hub
area. First hub area, because there was a nice little like waterfall spring stream. And I'd let Spyro have a little paddle around in it because he deserves it.
He deserved it.
After
he's the best boy.
After all the crap he's been through, I used to take him for a little swim. That's not something I do anymore, though, because that would be psychotic. What I actually have brought along as my example, and I think this is a very common one, and you'll probably both agree, is that I never use rare consumables. I always save them. I would rather use several bad, cheap healing items instead of one more expensive good one. And so by the end, Elden Ring, the perfect example currently, I have an inventory full of the rarest, most powerful items that I will never use because I might need them someday. When, I don't know, you can't take it with you when you die. Well,
I'm going to give it a bloody good go.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a bloody good go. So that's my main one. I just won't use the rare items. I won't.
I think I have them. They sit in my inventory and I'm like, oh my God, I've had this the whole time. I didn't even know. I've
been using berries to heal.
Alternatively, like if it's something like Borderlands, I just accidentally sell my stuff that I was planning on using almost every single time. I'd be like, where's that spell gone? Well, the Tiny Tina specific, but where's that spell 200, gone?
200 like Borderlands really dollars, hell yeah.
Spell, and then I go to find it in the buyback and it's not there because I sold it like too many items ago. And
oh,
I'm like,
dear.
Do it!
When we played, I played Turnby 2 on stream, there's items called magic wings that let you fast travel because otherwise you have to linearly run all the way through the world, like from one level to the next to the next. And I was using them really sparingly for the first few streams because I was like, you know, we've only got so many of these. And I said, eventually we get like an infinite use. There's a dog that you can that can fly and you ride on his back.
Okay.
And so I wasn't using my magic wings. And then when we finally got the dog, I was like, oh, I've got all these magic wings now in my inventory. So then I was just using them left, right, and center. Like, I'm not going to use the dog that had been waiting. We've been waiting all this time for the dog. I'm not going to use him now. I'm going to use the magic wings first and get them cleared out before we start flying around the dog's back. And I still had like 8 left at the end. But
sounds like a euphemism.
Yeah.
Flying around on the dog's
back. Flying around the dog's back, yeah.
Well, that's a bit strange, isn't it? I would say.
It is a bit strange.
A bit peculiar, maybe.
Perhaps. Could it be weird?
Weird news?
Yeah. Yeah, it could be. Weird news.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's weird news time. It's time for some weird video game news. Oh, looks like Peter gets to go first again because it's his birthday.
Well, I'll go first reading the podcast producer, shall I? Because it's
Is
my
that
birth.
What you meant?
Yeah. That's exactly what
that's
I meant.
What I
right.
Meant.
I will go first reading the names of our podcast producers who support us on Patreon.
Yes.
And they get their name read out in every single podcast. Thank you for sponsoring Weird News.
Thank you.
Nathan.
Gabrielle Philippink.
Josh Plain.
Sean Legg.
G.Y. Goliath.
Corey Duffel.
Ellie Nicholas.
Erica Hutchinson.
Melody L. Burnett.
And Katie Garrett Jarrett.
Garrett Jarrett.
Thank Thanks. You so much, podcast.
Have we ever had clarification on Patreon for that?
I don't think so. Katie,
it's on YouTube.
Please reach out.
Yeah.
Let us know, Katie, what's going on.
Next podcast post, just, hey guys, it's actually Garrett would be great.
Jared.
Yes.
Jared.
Harrod.
Garrett, like Greg's, would be really.
Yeah. I've got a weird news. Can I go first?
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah, go
you
on.
Go first. It's your birthday. You can do what you want. You're the birthday princess.
This weird news. You can submit weird news to us on Twitter and Facebook with your posts every week asking for weird news. This weird news was submitted by Peter Austin, birthday princess.
Whoa.
He found it all by himself.
Bet he's handsome.
Yeah, me too.
I bet he's 30.
Yeah, or nearly. Well, he is by the time this goes out. No, he's not. 2001 demo for previously unknown Gex Jr. leaks online.
Ooh.
This is weird. The game was a spin-off of the Gex series, possibly built for kids, and seems to star Gex's son?
Sister?
By Zach Svison. Gex is back, but not
All
Harris.
All right.
But, oh
bow,
my God,
bow,
we're back
now,
again.
Now, 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 now. No, no,
but
no.
Not how his fans probably were hoping for. Instead of a new game or remake, fans can check out a demo for Gex Jr., a never-before-seen PS1 spin-off of the original Gex franchise. This new demo has surfaced online over 20 years after it was seemingly abandoned. The new unfinished demo for Gex Jr. comes courtesy of Just Zoot and has been uploaded to the fantastic Hidden Palace website. The demo appeared with no real warning, just showing up yesterday, surprising many and confusing most. This was written on Sunday, so it came out on Saturday last week. Read that. Thanks to Just Zoot, you can watch a short video of the demo in action below, and it's been embedded in the article. You guys can check out the links. In the short demo, we see Gex Jr. quipping away like his... Dad? Question mark. With references to Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and Darth Vader being Luke's dad, things that were already dated in 2001. The demo has a January 2001 build date. The demo seems to be set in a movie theater-like level and Gex Jr. collecting cans of soda. Each time he collects one, he makes a gulping noise that is now seared into my brain and will never be forgotten. I never want to hear Gex Jr. gulp again. A simple level design and objectives, coupled with the game's name and overall look, seem to imply this game was going to be aimed at kids or younger players. You might, like me, have a lot of questions now. For example, here's one. Does Gex Jr. imply Gex has a son? Does that also mean Gex flips?
That's exactly where my brain went. So
yeah, who is Gex Jr.'s mum and what happened? And unrelated to all that, was Gex Jr. a game developed for kids? Did someone really think the world needed a kid-friendly Gex spin-off?
Bex. That's what his mum's called. Sorry, Karen.
Bex. Very yes. good. Or Lex, possibly.
Mm. Well, I prefer my one.
Yeah, Bex is better. Yeah,
thank you.
Also, who was that person?
He's the birthday princess.
You're right. I like Lex just as much.
Yeah, I like Lex more.
Thanks. So I don't know how... Well, you two know Gex from the PS1 era, but it was a...
I don't at all.
Okay, well, so...
I wasn't alive.
Here's a picture. If you imagine this, but without the t-shirt and backwards cap of the
Wow,
sort of,
is that Gex Jr.?
That's Gex
He's
Jr.
He's so cool.
Wow.
But Gex, the first game, I think the first two games were like 2D side-scrollers, but the third one was Gex 3D, and it was that kind of mascot platformer game.
A lizard?
A gecko.
A gecko.
Gex the gecko.
That makes sense.
A gecko. And I think it was Crystal Dynamics, but citation needed. But he was in a kind of, I think he got sucked into a TV. And so there'll be a lot of pop culture references. There was like a Looney Tunes level, and there was like a martial arts movie level and stuff like that. And all the way through, he would be just doing references to pop culture, making like strange jokes about films and TV shows and like celebrities and things. And some of the humor was a bit kind of out there as well. So the fact that they were then seemingly planning a child-friendly spin-off is a bit strange. It's not quite Conker, but it's a bit like Conker Jr. being like a kid-friendly game, you know, or Duke Nukem Jr. Possibly. It's not that bad. So if you want some unreleased demo prototypes and other odd bits of gaming history, check out some of the other stuff on the Hidden Palace website. And that's the end of the article. So there we go. I saw someone describe the game as poochifying the most poochified video game character. It is a little bit, yeah.
That makes total sense.
When are they going to get to the fireworks factory? Ashton, it's your turn.
Thanks, Peter. I don't know if this person is the same person or there's just some kind of Johnny telepathy, but this was submitted by Jonathan Wang on Facebook and JohnnyMac13 on Twitter.
Okay.
So there's some kind of John convention happening, maybe. And it comes from Games Radar.
John Con,
exactly. It comes from Games Radar by Austin Wood. Halo, the official cookbook, will make you the master chef this August.
Very good.
Get it? Wow. Like chief?
Master chef.
Finally, we can sample the Spartan diet for ourselves. Halo, the official cookbook, is a real thing coming this year with over 70 recipes somehow inspired by the storied shooter. Written by Victoria Rosenthal, the author behind the equally inexplicable but apparently pretty good cookbook, like for the likes of Final Fantasy XIV, Fallout, and even Destiny, the Halo cookbook will launch August 16 with hardcover and digital versions. It's promising awesome appetizers, sumptuous snacks, decadent desserts, and main dishes to fuel even the hungriest of Spartans on the longest of missions. Video game cookbooks are surprisingly common. Heck, a Witcher cookbook was announced just 3 days ago. But this is one of those cases that really makes you scratch your head. Is there food in Halo? Is the story involving humans, some modified superhumans, but humans nonetheless? Sorry. So surely someone had to eat something at some point in the history of the series, but we honestly couldn't tell you what they ate or who they were. Food has never been a focus of Halo games, so it's more of an assumed necessity than a feature. This makes you wonder what the heck those 70-plus recipes are based on, but also gives the cookbook a blank canvas to work with. The cover of the book is our only clue for now. It imagines such alien food as churros, club sandwiches, triple-decker burgers, stir-fry, fried fish, and cocktails.
That is rubbish.
There will be just weird stuff there, like grunt eggs and kind of deviled eggs but painted blue dye.
As eager as we are to try these never before seen dishes, we're also hoping to see some weird fun stuff that plays with Halo lore. Obviously there's going to be a chicken sandwich called a Moa burger. That's a given, and we're fine with it. Commit to the bit, hit us with some Halo. Yes, that's Halo is a real thing, but Halo obviously play on words.
Right.
Sell us on Groob. Recreate the chef special offered at the Pillar of Autumn food dispenser, according to the Halo Wiki. We can't become the master chef with 70 familiar recipes that just happen to have Halo nouns in them. And all right, we'll quit beating around the bush. We need to know if you can deep fry the Flood. And then there's something about the Halo TV show.
Okay.
But there you are. They're making a cookbook.
Weird.
I mean, it asks the question whether food exists in the Halo universe. Do you guys remember there's like this weird meme that was like people thought had been confirmed by an official source at Bungie, but then I think it turned out it hadn't, that said I think somewhere it says that Master Chief's suit like deals with his sewage somehow, It's just like information that you don't need. Remember when the Harry Potter universe was like, oh yeah, wizards used to just like crap their pants and then like magic it away.
Yeah.
It's like that. And then like this weird thing started going around that Master Chief's suit tosses him off. And it's
whoa,
yeah, it's
Jesus
like this meme.
Christ.
By all means, read your news, but there's this,
I don't think I can now.
There's a meme in the Halo community that Master Chief's suit tosses him off.
Okay, there's got to be a cleaner way to say that.
Well, I was trying to be clean by not using the
Jimmy's
W word.
Jenkins would have been fine. We would have got that.
Jenks him off. James,
No, we're not off. Okay. We're not doing any. There's nothing. There's no off happening.
Right. Okay.
All right.
Masturbates for him.
Thank you.
Master Chief.
Master Chief's for him.
Tickles his pickle.
Yes.
Master Chief.
Stop. Stop it. Stop that.
I'm just going to get you some context.
I want to see it.
You won't
there's
see
no
anything, Ashton.
I just want to see the meat. The meme.
The meat.
I just want to
see the meat.
Is that so much to ask?
Yes, it is too much to ask.
We should get the cookbook and do some cooking on of the main menus.
Yeah, we should.
But it'll just be like, we made a sandwich. But
it's
this,
the
it's
sandwich
Halo
from
theme.
Halo.
Same is the Witcher cookbook. Do we know if that's going to have actual recipes from the
There'll
Witcher?
Probably be lots
it?
Of interesting medieval Stews. Inspired stuff. That'll be pretty cool.
A roast, a stew,
spook bird.
I mean, there's literally a Kotaku article entitled "No."
Who wrote it?
Maddie Myers.
Oh, damn. Okay, I thought it was going to be one of our boys.
No, Master Chief's suit does not jerk him off.
Stop.
I wanted to, when I discovered this, I wanted to bring it as weird news, but it was written in 2018. So I learned about this like a year ago and I was like, that's perfect for the podcast.
Bring it next week. No, you're not here.
No.
Bring it the week after.
But it was apparently like someone pretending to be an official Halo source said, oh no, that was it. They showed a photo of a page from an official book that they had doctored.
Right.
So it looked like they'd just taken a photo of like the new book that come out. Oh my God, look at this. And like tweeted it. And then that was like spreading around. That was the source of it, I think. So.
Okay.
But no, it doesn't. But he eats, apparently. So he has some needs.
But does he flop? That's the question.
Does he flop?
Does he flop?
Does he flop? My news is from PC Gamer. And it's written by, I'm going to say, Jorge Jimenez. I think.
Mm-hmm.
And the title is Gamer Says Razer Headset Saved Their Life from a Stray Bullet.
This was actually submitted on Facebook.
Was it actually?
Yeah.
Damn it. Would you mind
I'll
finding
find
out who it was? Sorry, I completely missed that. The bullet entered their bedroom window, struck a wall, and then ricocheted off their Razer Kraken, they said.
Kraken.
Yeah. Last Wednesday morning in Torrance, California, an 18-year-old gamer was apparently saved by a Razer headset when it deflected a stray bullet. The shot glanced off their Razer Kraken headset after piercing their... You got it?
Yeah. It was submitted by Ernie Arrowsmith.
Oh, thank you, Ernie Arrowsmith.
Oh, thank you.
After piercing their bedroom window and ricocheting off a wall, no one was injured in the incident, though the victim reported a lingering headache.
Oh.
Should probably go to the doctor.
Definitely get that checked out.
Hello to everyone who sees this. Enough_dance_956 wrote in a Reddit post last week. I'm trying to get a hold of someone at Razer to thank them with all of my heart. Wednesday morning at 10:30 a.m., a stray bullet went through my window and hit the Razer headphones on top of my head. If it wasn't for the headphones made with good quality, I would have been a dead kid at the age of 18. I couldn't even imagine all the pain my family and friends would have been through. In part because the Reddit post was made near April Fool's Day, it was met with heavy skepticism on the site. Some accused the poster of staging the shooting to score a free headset. Enough Dance 956 responded to the suspicion with a second post, which included photos showing the bullet hole in the window, the indentation on the wall from the first ricochet, and the bullet on the bed where it ended up after striking the headset. A Razer rep told us that the company was not behind the post nor aware of the incident before it appeared on Reddit. This is not an April Fool's prank, at least not from us, they said. We've reached out to the community member already to thank him and at least get him a new headset.
Thought they might do that.
Yeah.
Mine's
got a hole in it.
Hole. Whoa.
Wow.
Ricochet.
Hmm.
Bullet.
Headset.
Oh my God. It went through the headset.
Just went through the top of the headset, it looks
like.
Oh my
God.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be less of a bad hole on the headset. Fewer of a hole on the headset than that. And like, you know, lost most of its momentum on the wall and maybe just went ding.
Yeah.
But no, like that
really
looks like it actually saved his life.
Really
he could have died.
Would have gone into the top of his head there. Mm. That's my weird news.
Good story.
It's time to move on.
Question three.
Question three is from Conroy Milk, who says, hello, Bap.
Hello.
Hello,
we often
Conroy.
Talk about bugs and glitches in a negative way. However, sometimes they can be quite fun or even helpful. Mm. Have you ever experienced a bug or glitch that's made your game more interesting / fun instead of causing the usual frustrations associated with them? Keep up the great work, comma, Mr. Milk.
Thanks,
Mr. Milk.
Thank you,
Mr. Milk. Thanks, Mr. Milk.
Yeah.
I've talked before.
Milk. Yes?
No. It's okay, I can wait.
I've talked before about how me and my uncle used to play Halo, and in Halo 1, there is a bit where it's many people's favorite level. It's the beach one. What's it called? I don't remember.
The beach one.
The Silent Cartographer. It's
Are you
going
to talk about the quad bike?
Yeah, the warthog. So you can... There's a couple of warthogs to drive around on that level. And at one point, you have to go into a building's interior and the door is slightly too small to get a warthog in there because you're not supposed to get a warthog in there. Fortunately, there are two warthogs in that level or more. So what we did was drive one down the ramp into this corridor, down to the door at the bottom, and had it right in the doorway. And then the other person was behind them and drove down the ramp at full speed and mashed it through the wall. And then we were able to like drive a car in a bit of the game where you're not supposed to have one. That was a lot of fun. So I've talked about that before. But another one that came to mind as I was reading the question was when we did Skyrim Zoo. There were all kinds of glitches in that. That's at Vidiot's, a series that we did in Skyrim, that just kind of played into the story. One in particular was that the whole premise was that responsible zoo owner was going around just collecting animals to keep in his zoo in Riften. And we said, oh, we should do a rabbit. And we're like, okay, yeah, fine. And we're like, well, a rabbit's a bit small. It's not much of a spectacle. So let's just get a really big rabbit because you can scale things up using like console commands. Mm. So we had this giant rabbit. And the way that responsible zoo owner used to capture his animals was that we killed them in game, but the sort of the story or the lore was that he was using kind of sleeping poison right. on arrows. So all we did was, or it was like a paralysis potion, wasn't it? Mm. So we like poisoned an arrow with paralysis and shot this giant rabbit, but the game didn't like that we had ragdolled a tiny rabbit that had been scaled up to huge proportions. And it just sort of folded in on itself and its legs were going everywhere and it just went up into the sky and flew away. And for the next, God knows how many episodes, 5, 6, 7 episodes, it became the Rabbit King and it was like the antagonist of the entire story.
Yeah.
So, you know, that worked out pretty well as
it
a glitch.
It did. It was very funny.
Yeah. All manner of things happened in that series that played into the story. So glitches can be good.
Yeah. Mm.
I could only think of one specific example that I could remember was I was playing Ratchet and Clank and I can't remember if it was a 2016 like movie remake or if it was the original one, but there's a part of a level where you have to like run through a pipe and it's like filling up with water and you don't want to drown. And I was playing it and Ben was watching and I kind of just was running through and I was like, oh, I'm going to drown. I'm not going to make it. And then the water just kind of passed me by and carried on. And I was like, huh, okay. So I just finished the level without this water being any issue. And nice. MB was like, how have you done this? I've played this game like 6 or 7 times and I have never seen this happen. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, just get good. We used to make a joke that if is a game Ashton proof, because I could find a glitch or a bug in most games and I still do find them.
Because you play games like no other human being
yeah.
that tested them.
Yeah. I'm just unequivocally chaotic when playing a game that no one can anticipate what I will do. Mm-hmm. So we used to make jokes whether they are Ashton proof or not. And most games were not Ashton proof, but that specifically was one of the examples where we went, this game is not Ashton proof. I can still break this game. And also, obviously, Far Cry 6 has many glitches, but I thought you might talk about Far Cry 6 because
oh,
you
man.
Had many a glitch.
I had
when we were
so
playing.
Many bugs.
But they were quite fun because you just get yeeted in the sky for, like, no reason.
Yeah.
It was good. Good times.
They were good. I mean, yeah, Far Cry 6, I wasn't even going to talk about that one because it was, every time I'd play it, something strange would happen, yeah. Being pushed through the wall of a building that you're not meant to go into. So I'm just stuck inside this prison that I can't escape from. Yeah.
I guess not so much helpful as perhaps funny.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, definitely not helpful. Mm. There was a bit where, and I think I spoke about it on the podcast, where one of us got pushed under the map. This happened a few times, getting pushed under the map. And because I was playing in co-op, you get too far from someone. I don't know how it decides who gets spawned on who.
I think it's whoever's hosting, I think.
Not the case. Not in this instance. So my friend got pushed through the map. I was then spawned under the map next to them, and we were just free falling. Just forever into the abyss as the world got smaller above us. Mm. Then the entire screen went black and we spawned in an extremely low poly version of the final city of the game.
Oh, yeah.
We were nowhere near getting to. And it was just like, what is happening? How has this happened? So there was an endless source of entertainment, but it was, yeah, really weird. In terms of helpful, I don't know. I don't know if I can use it in the sense of helpful, but Dragon Age Inquisition was famously a bit of had quite a tortured development cycle. Mm-hmm. They were being forced to make it, BioWare, this is being forced to make it on Frostbite engine, which was part of the reason why Anthem was such a disaster and Mass Effect Andromeda was such a disaster as well. And so there are things in that game that you shouldn't really be able to do. Like one of my skills for my character was some sort of like forwards roll, evasion roll thing, but I could use it to just go up on hills and bits of scenery. Because although there were these big open areas, largely they were just quite linear paths through, you know, valleys or whatever. Mm. But I could really just mess stuff up by climbing on top of things and I would fall through stuff. And if I could see that, basically I'd try and Skyrim it. So if I could see my objective was just up a hill to the right, I wouldn't follow the path round. I would do everything in my power to roll up that hill. Mm-hmm. And it often ended in quite stupid ways. But that you know, it saved some time. And I got stuck in all sorts of strange places. And that was quite entertaining. In a game that otherwise was all right. It was all right, Dragon Age Inquisition. But that's it, really. I can't really think of anything that was, helpful. But it definitely made the game more interesting and fun.
Mm. Have you ever had... I've seen clips of Dark Souls or Bloodborne bosses just roll off bridges. I mean, whether you call that a glitch as such, I don't know. But people are, like, only halfway through getting down a massive health bar and then they just sort of dive off the edge and it says... so-and-so defeated.
I think I've there is one boss in particular where you're actually meant to do that.
Oh, right.
In the original Dark Souls, but yeah, that does happen sometimes. I actually had that happen in Elden Ring. I was fighting a big scary enemy who didn't have a boss health bar but does act as a boss in another part of the game. He's got this crazy rolling attack and I was on a bridge and he just went boing and just rolled right off the cliff.
Cool,
that's great. Nice. And then he just teleported behind me.
Aww.
Which is like, that's not allowed. You died. I would die if I went down there. Why? you're clearly not designed to roll off the bridge that has big high walls, but he hit it with such velocity that he just went whee and just flew over it. And then he spawned behind me with his with the same health bar. I felt a bit cheated by that.
That is cheated. Yeah, you can cheat out of that.
Yeah, there we are. Right, it's time for... The big discussion. It's big discussion time. Time for the big discussion. It comes courtesy of Samuel Benson, who says, "Hello, Bap."
Hello, Sam.
Hi.
Well, E3 has... And happy birthday, Peter.
Happy birthday, Peter.
Mm. Well, E3 has been officially cancelled for 2022. In this ever-changing digital age, do you think there's still a place for game conferences like E3? So, got a couple of things here. This is an article from the 7th of January from Video Games Chronicle. E3's in-person event has been cancelled for the third year in a row. Organiser blames risks surrounding COVID-19 for the latest cancellation. No word on a digital replacement. So, obviously, this was a couple of months ago. Mm. They've since confirmed that there was going to be a digital event instead. As of the 31st of March, also Video Games Chronicle, now E3 2022's digital event is cancelled too. The ESA had previously cancelled the in-person version of the event. This is the statement from the ESA.
regarding the cancellation. We will devote all our energy and resources to delivering a revitalized physical and digital E3 experience next summer. Whether enjoyed from the show floor or your favorite devices, the 2023 showcase will bring the community, media, and industry back together in an all-new format and interactive experience. It went on to confirm its intentions to hold an event next year. We look forward to presenting E3 to fans around the world live from Los Angeles in 2023. Okay, so that's not happening, is it?
Yeah.
That's probably not going to happen. What do you think?
Are they in person in 2023?
I just don't know. How do you come back from
I think
this?
The fact that they've...
It's becoming less and less relevant.
Yeah, the fact they've cancelled the digital this year. Like, I don't think it's necessarily a bad idea to have cancelled the physical, like COVID-wise. Yeah. I know in a lot of places around the world, certainly in the UK, a lot of people and companies and government officials COVID's are saying, over. Hey, we completed COVID. Well done, everyone. But, you know, if someone is going to say, well, actually, no, we don't think it is done, we're going to be sensible and cancel it, physical, you know, a physical event. I think that's probably a sensible thing to do. But I think it's a bit odd that they've cancelled the digital version. And I just wonder if really it's a bit of a smokescreen for the fact that they sort of know the writing's on the wall. And maybe this year they were like, people, you know, we've contacted people to do digital conferences with us, digital presentations, and maybe some of them were saying, no, we're not going to do it this year.
We're hanging out with Jeff.
Yeah.
Jeff Keighley's taken over.
They might have thought, oh, it's not going to be very good this year, so let's just cancel the whole thing and hope that we can get everyone back next year. I've no reason to believe that other than just those facts that have been presented, but it just seems odd to have cancelled the digital version, I think.
Yeah. I wonder if it didn't make any money. Like, because obviously in an in-person event, you can sell tickets and people will pay to come and to see you. I wonder if the digital version just didn't make them enough money that it cost for them to promote and put on.
It was weird last year. We got press accreditation for the digital event and I logged in to see it. And it was like this strange app where you like created an avatar and you could go into different rooms with other people and talk about what it was. And then there was the Greg Miller, the presenters of E3, but they would just talk about the stuff that had been shown at E3. Like they would know. It was really weird. Like it was such a strange thing that just was not, I didn't feel it was very accessible or interesting. At all.
Yeah. And the state of E3 is something that kind of comes up on the podcast, you know, every 4 or 5 months.
yeah.
And you know, we've said before that it's clear that more and more people are kind of thinking, we're not going to do an E3 presentation. Still we're going to do something either in the very same week or the day before it starts, as EA often do. Or sometimes it's not even, I mean, last year, I don't think people necessarily did it in E3 week. There was like stuff in like weeks later as well. Yeah. I remember there was a bit of a run of
weeks later.
So I think that's just becoming more and more common. Everyone's realizing, well, we can just do our own thing to our own deadline, have all the focus on us that day, and you know, choose to show what we want to show, go on as long as we want, record it all beforehand if we choose to do that and not worry about technical issues live. So I can see the appeal from, you know, if you're a video game publisher or developer and you're feeling like, well, I want to do a presentation, but I'm not going to do E3. I'm going to just do it on my own terms. Mm-hmm. It kind of makes sense. So, I mean, to answer Samuel's question, do I think there's still a place for game conferences like E3? I think if E3 was happening in the way it used to, you know, in the sort of good old days, to be a granddad about it, I think everyone would enjoy it. And I think be like, oh, E3's back. That's great. But I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's a dying thing, personally.
I think if it was in person, I think people may, like companies may return to it.
Maybe
and
so.
I think E3 would have a resurgence. But I think with how easy it is to put on your own showcase and just do it yourself, the digital platform that E3 had wasn't quite good enough for a lot of like places. Like obviously Sony left and haven't done E3 for a couple of years now. And Microsoft did like a really tiny presentation. Did Microsoft do a presentation at E3 or was it that they do their own thing?
They had a Bethesda.
Microsoft Bethesda. But I don't know if that was at E3.
I know. I think they did that. Well,
because it was when I... Because E3 was when I hadn't started yet.
Yeah.
It was like the week before I started with you guys. And the Microsoft Bethesda conference was when I was in an Airbnb after I'd started.
Mm.
So I don't think they were... They did it.
I honestly can't remember because Microsoft are a, like a big proponent of E3.
Mm.
And, you know, they're a card-carrying member of the ESA, or at least several principal people are. And so are many others, that aren't taking part in E3. But even so, I honestly can't remember.
No,
but it seems
really
very
remember.
Strange if they didn't take part in E3 because they have been one of the biggest proponents of it.
But
they've
got
Activision to promote as well.
Yeah, they do
the
now.
Next time.
Because I remember Devolver Digital definitely did something. And then there was a couple of other companies. But I remember this last year's E3 didn't have anything very special.
It was just...
I don't think, although I can remember.
Just a set of dates. Like that's what we've discussed before about E3 is that while E3 might not exist, everyone agreeing to come together during that week and doing their own stuff does exist.
Mm.
Because as you said, there are so many satellite events now from people who used to officially be part of E3, but now aren't, but they're also still there, but they're doing their own thing the day before or the day after. And of course, Big Jeff...
Stealing E3's thunder a bit.
You've got to talk about Big Jeff with his Game Awards, Summer Games Fest, Gamescom Opening Night Live. Like, he's got three major events each year now that are appointment viewing. And they are pretty much everything that I suppose E3 kind of wanted to be in a sense. Because we know that, and as we've spoken about before, these companies that may usually go to E3 can have their own streams, and they do, and they have been doing that the whole pandemic since it started, and some even before. Jeffrey's platform offers people an opportunity to be seen by millions of people, but not necessarily have to put on their own stream.
Yeah.
So while game conferences like E3 might no longer exist as a physical thing that people can go to, or maybe even digital, like this, I still think that week is going to be earmarked as this is the time in the summer where everyone comes together and puts loads, like over the course of a week, there's 12 streams, for example.
Yeah.
I don't think that's unlikely, but I...
What are we going to do about predictions this year now?
Well, we'll have to know who's showing up.
Who's
going to
do what?
And then we'll go from there.
Work out a duration. Because I'm sure last year there were a couple of things that happened like 2 weeks later or something. And it's like, what do we call I guess it's E3 week. But got to hope that people do still keep it focused on 1 week.
Jeffrey's
primarily.
Big video game jamboree is what we'll call it.
Just think that maybe everyone doesn't need to do a conference.
Well, I think that's it. And especially with, you know, your kind of smaller updates like directs and things throughout the year, sort of, you know, when those weren't so much of a thing, you built up a bit of a, you know, a backlog of, oh, here are all the things we can announce and show trailers for. But now if we're doing, you know, if Sony and Nintendo are doing little bits throughout the year, little updates, there's not as much to kind of, you know, get through in E3 week.
Yeah. I mean, it makes me sad because...
Yeah.
One of my career goals was always to go to E3 at some point. It just always looked so cool, and it's gotten sadder and sadder and cancelled and then sadder and cancelled again. And we will see if it ever comes back. I'm not 100% sure. I don't know that physical game conferences are necessarily vital to the industry. I think they're good for consumers. Like, I'm looking forward to going to EGX again when we can.
Didn't it get cancelled this year?
But I don't know if it's been cancelled this year, but by all accounts, last year...
I'm going to look.
Last year was not... one of the main reasons we didn't go is because they just didn't have any games to
show. That's right.
It was just their lineup was really bad.
There were like mediocre, semi-interesting games, and everything else
was already
heard of or was already out. Yeah.
So that, you know, those... For consumers, absolutely. I like going to a games convention and playing games and buying old video games I don't
need. Simon Miller.
Meeting again. Simon Miller.
They've cancelled EGX Birmingham, but EGX London still going ahead.
Okay. I don't really know what that means EGX-wise anymore because they used to have Rezzed, which was the indie one, and then they had the full fat one. But either way, at E3, I don't know that it's coming back. I don't necessarily know that it'll be missed this year because I do genuinely think that we'll still get a Capcom stream, we'll still get a Microsoft Bethesda stream, we'll get an EA stream, we'll get Jeffrey, we'll get Nintendo, and be like The only difference would be is that E3 is on and they are official partners, and that would be it. And I don't really think that that necessarily benefits them, because what kind of promotion are they going to get when they're going to get exactly the same kind of exposure if they do it by themselves?
Yeah.
It just doesn't mean what it used to mean. That's a shame, but you know,
well, when
it does sound like it's been mismanaged into the ground based on various reports over the years.
When Microsoft and Sony own every single games company, we'll just have one big Microsoft conference, and then the next day we'll have a big Sony.
Well, you say that, we won't. Sony will stay quiet for 3 years, and then they'll say the day of, oh yeah, we're doing a stream tonight, and then we'll go, all right, what are you going to show? And they'll talk about side panels for the PS5, and then we'll go, rubbish.
Thanks.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
It was worth my time.
It sure was.
What we need is for Microsoft to buy Sony.
Yeah,
that's the Microsoft Games event annual.
Yeah.
Well, there's no E3 this year, but that big Jeffrey's Summer Game Jamboree, that's coming around really fast.
Yeah.
That'll be here before we know it. And of course, we will be covering it when it comes out. Live streams, predictions, relevant lists, that sort of stuff. But yeah, we're going to have to come up with a better buzzword because we've had so many lists about E3 cringe moments and stuff.
Yeah.
We're just going to have to come up with some vague catch-all term for the summer...
Times Jeff Keighley warmed our hearts.
Yes, yeah. Pot Boy.
And then the next times Jeff Keighley made us all cringe.
Really disappointed. Yeah.
Really,
us.
I don't really like Jeff Keighley. I used to like him, and I don't like him anymore.
What's up? What's
weird
up with
vibes.
That?
Just, bad
you think
vibes.
He's a bit strange.
I think he's a bit strange.
He's just missed the mark on a couple of occasions.
I think he just kind of like, I don't know.
He seems a bit robotic sometimes. Weird.
Yeah, but he kind of gives me Mark Zuckerberg vibes.
Yeah, to be fair, I get that.
Where I'm like,
you know, without knowing the man.
What's your deal, Jeff?
He's done an awful lot for video games.
Are you a lizard?
And I'm a huge fan of his work.
Mm.
I don't know much about the man himself, but I look forward to summer to Ashton.
It's got
look
weird
forward
vibes.
To summer
might
Game
be listening,
Fest.
Ashton. Don't
I look forward with his lizard ears? I look forward to Summer Games Fest, and please don't kill us, Jeffrey.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks so much. Wonderful. Well, of course, you can let us know about everything we've spoken about today in terms of your thoughts in the comments or on social media, that sort of stuff. The Birthday Boy is now going to tell you various places where you can find us on the internet.
Hello, we're Team Triple Jump. You can go to youtube.com and twitch.tv/Team Triple Jump to see all of our videos and live streams when we are streaming on both YouTube and Twitch. We are modded by Lord Brotovich, Trailing Badger, and Mr. Black. So if they tell you to do something...
Bloody well do it.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah.
Stealing your thing.
I know.
If you've got Amazon Prime, speaking of lizards, you can get a free Twitch sub as part of that. So why not spend that on us if you like? That'd be good.
Lizard boy Jeffrey Bezos doesn't get your money then.
Yeah.
We do. Well, he still kind of gets money.
But
we get a little bit out of his pocket.
You indirectly support him, but you directly support us.
Yeah, you give us a little sprinkle of his money.
Mm.
A little bit of Jeffrey Bezos
lizard
fairy
skin.
Dust. Dandruff.
Twitter.com and Facebook.com/Team Triple Jump. That's our social media presence where we do video content, announcements, live streams and things like that. Fraser looks after it. Thank you very much. I say that they're our social media presence, but I mean, all of this is technically social media, such as TikTok. TikTok.com/@Team Triple Jump. It's our TikTok.
Yes.
You can see Ashton and Fraser on there and me once. And we've also got a Patreon, patreon.com/Team Triple Jump for early worst and weirdest games ever, questions on the podcast, podcast producer, paintings, things, whatever you like. Go and have a look.
We have a website. It's triplej.mup. That's JJU.MP. Guess what it spells? Jump. If you want to join our Discord, you go to triplejerk.mup/discord. Our lovely community will hang out on there and chat about all things gaming and not gaming sometimes. Mm. On Discord, we're modded by Jack, Joe, Tori, and Hollow Eyes. And if they tell you to stop doing something, bloody well stop it. If you want to listen to the podcast in its audio forms, maybe you're going on a mysterious holiday for your 30th birthday this weekend.
Maybe you're a princess.
And you're the birthday princess. And you say, I want to listen to something in the car on the way. I'm going to listen to my favorite podcast as the birthday princess.
I can't think of anything worse than sitting in the car listening to the Triple Jump podcast when I'm meant to be on holiday. but it's not your work, so you will enjoy it.
Yeah. You can go to georgette.mup/podcast. If you want to watch any of our live stream VODs, there's many a week, so you may have missed one, you can go to georgette.mup/VODs. And last but not least, if you want to buy some sick and cool merch, this is not on the website, this one, but this one is. This one.
This is just a great t-shirt underneath.
Yeah. You can go to triplejumpshop.com. Make sure you're following at triplejumpshop on Twitter for the latest merch announcements. Mm. We saw some artwork for some new merch today.
We did.
It's very cool.
It is.
I really like it.
We're being so mysterious today.
I know.
So cryptic. We've got so many exciting things
to talk about.
Yeah. Pipeline.
Yeah.
Love the pipeline.
Yeah.
Why not follow Peter and Ashton on Instagram and Twitter at ThatPeterAustin and at ScrambledAshton. I'm at Confused_Dude just on Twitter. Lists, we do those every Monday, every Tuesday, every Wednesday, and every Thursday. The streams we do every Monday, every Tuesday, every Wednesday, every Thursday, every Friday. On Thursday, it's the joint stream.
Blaze it.
Every Monday, every Tuesday, every Wednesday, and every Friday are the solo streams on Twitch.
Don't blaze
it. The joint streams on YouTube.
Worst Games is fortnightly. Friday for patrons of a certain tier. Sunday for everybody else.
I don't like this voice.
I like
it. It's kind of freaking me out.
No, no, carry on.
I don't like it.
Unleash the lizard. That sounds really bad. Be a lizard.
The podcast is every Saturday.
Blaze it.
And we do shows once every other week. Go and check out the channel. You'll find stuff there. Why not leave a 5-star review on iTunes or your platform of choice? It helps something to do with Al Gore's rhythms.
I really don't like it. It's really freaking me out.
Facebook.com/TeamTripleJump. Go give us a follow there, please, if you would. It's a weirdest games ever week, month. Week, month.
Yes? Week, month. Yeah, I mean, so it's already gone out if you're
a week, month.
Patron.
Of content.
But it, yes, it is. But that will be going out tomorrow at time of release on my birthday.
On Peter's birthday. We filmed it when Ben had COVID, but we didn't know he had COVID yet. He went home that Wednesday and then Thursday tested positive for COVID.
Was the dancing one.
Oh, yeah. I just felt kind of under the weather.
Yeah, Ben wasn't very well.
Man, I feel terrible.
I was having an incredibly bad day that day. And then we filmed it and Kieran's made some magic because I thought that like that was really bad. Like I really thought we'd filmed it was really bad because we were both not feeling great. Peter really like soldiered through and was carrying the team.
Well, but Peter's the dancing
but
queen.
It's actually turned out really good. And Kieran's done some great work with
it. I am the Theresa May of Triple Chump.
Yeah, strong and stable.
Strong and weak and wobbly. You can also go to facebook.com/TeamTripleJump if you want to support us and pay our medical bills. We don't have private health care, but you know.
We could if you paid us, if you let us. Yeah. Also go listen/watch those Quipscopes that we mentioned earlier on. Right, Peter. Time to end the show with the sponsor, please.
On a real high with an excellent sponsor. Star Wars, The Skywalker Saga. And then can anyone do dolphin noises? Do you want to add that in?
Is that a mouse?
Yeah, it's a little like a underwater mouse. Echo Star Wars. But you have to sort of lean into the G. So Echo Star Wars, The Skywalker Saga. I'm sorry.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Happy birthday, Peter Austin.
Thanks.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50,
luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.